KLYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is sponsored in part by Bosque Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. 505-444-7200. That's 505-444-7200. Or on the web at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you for your support of KLYT and our show, ABQ Connect. And it's a show where we get to learn what intentional eating is all about. Hi, Jennifer Bryant. How are you?
Hi, Jim. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you being with us. And it's been, actually, I haven't had you on since July. That's kind of unusual. You've been very supportive and contributing to ABQ Connect for over 2 years now. In fact, you were my very first guest 2 years ago, and we started on June 17th. So thanks so much for all your support.
Of course. Thanks for having me. And this is a fun conversation to have, Jim. So
it is. As we're going through the interview today, I want everybody to know about NourishedNutritionCounseling.com. NourishedNutritionCounseling.com. Jennifer has a lot of free information on the website. Helpful tools and her newsletter, Food, Fun, and Faith to Fuel Your Health, are all free resources. Helpful Tools has just delicious recipes that you can download. I like so much how you formatted those because they all print out really nicely on an 8.5 by 11. You can poke some holes in them. Now, see, that's probably an old guy. Most everybody that's listening probably thinks, oh, I can just pull them up on my phone and read them. But I like to have them in a notebook, Jennifer.
I do too. I still like to have mine in a notebook also. I have one 3-ring binder that I use for my meal planning, and I think it just makes life so much easier, and I spend less time, you know, going through all the cookbooks.
Jennifer, I have to tell you something funny is that this is how OCD people are like me. So I talk about taking a 3-hole punch, punching holes in what I print out, and putting them in a 3-ring binder. I had somebody actually send me an email and say, oh, no, don't defile the recipes by poking holes in them. Just slip them into one of those sleeves that already has the holes punched in, and that way it'll protect the paper and everything else, which was really a good idea. But I just think it's funny that we all have our own way of doing things.
Yes, absolutely. I actually use the plastic sleeves myself just so I don't get the recipe dirty or, you know, it protects it a little bit so that it lasts a little bit longer.
Well, and if you saw me in the kitchen, you would know that these recipes, I have to print them out every so often because they get everything on them, conceivably.
Yeah.
Hey, Jennifer, talk to us about intentional eating. Contrast it, if you will, with unintentional eating.
Yeah, sure. Well, so intentional eating is kind of a, I don't know if it's a term that's really widely used yet. It was a term that I came up with a couple of years ago when I started thinking about, okay, what is really working for people? What's helping them really change their habits and start eating healthier, including more healthy foods, getting rid of some of the processed foods, all of that. And so really, it's sort of my word that I came up with to put together intuitive eating principles, which, you know, there's a book published called Intuitive Eating, and there's 10 principles that they talk about in that book, and it's a wonderful book. And then so putting that together with some of the concepts that the Bible talks about in how we should be taking care of our bodies, and then just applying some of the like fruits of the spirit to nutrition. And so intentional eating is a combination of a Christian perspective on how we should be eating and also incorporating some of the intuitive eating principles. So, you know, intentional eating is really the process of feeding our bodies well, nourishing our bodies well, and listening to our bodies so that we can do all the things in life that we want to do and also all the things in life that God wants us to do. So I hope that that summarizes it pretty well for you. But I think that a lot of times what ends up happening is the opposite word, the unintentional eating, where we just kind of get lazy with it. We don't think about what we're eating. We don't think about taking care of our bodies. You know, we sit down in front of the television or we eat while we're eating. We don't think, we don't even understand or feel how the food is affecting our bodies. And so this intentional eating concept is sort of getting back to understanding a little bit better how the food is affecting us.
Now, I have got to throw in my own slant on this. I find myself, unfortunately, intentionally eating wrong.
Okay, now, can you give us an example?
Well, unfortunately, and I've made this confession before, I feel like I'm a chipaholic, and as soon as I see some homemade tortilla chips and then you introduce something like queso, I'm gone.
So Jim, you're talking about a couple different things here. So number one, the intuitive eating principles would say that the rules that you have made for yourself, whatever that might be, maybe around chips or whatever food, those are actually causing you to crave that food more. Mm-hmm. So we know that there's some kind of psychology going on where if we limit certain foods, and this is why I'm kind of anti-diet in general, because there is research that if we limit foods, then that makes us want to eat those foods more. So that's number one. So something to think about. And then number two, you know, what we're really talking about is finding a balance with food. God made food to nourish our bodies, number one, but he also made food to taste good and to be pleasurable. And so we want to have a balance of those things. We want to be eating foods that do both for us. And so, you know, this is where some of those fruits of the spirit come in. So maybe thinking about how do we apply self-control in this situation? And this is a big question that I get a lot, or I have people come to me and they'll say, you know, but Jen, I don't have self-control or I don't have willpower. Usually willpower is the word that people use when they talk about food. And really, that's the wrong way to think about it, especially as Christians, because we know that as Christians, we have the fruits of the Spirit, right? We are given those. And so self-control is one of those fruits. And so it may be true that you haven't practiced self-control very much, or maybe you struggle in practicing that self-control around certain foods, for example, but that doesn't mean that you can't learn how to use that fruit a little bit better.
Well, when you talk, I'm going to read this, and I know you might be wanting to do this as well. Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So far we've talked about self-control, but I think you're also going to lead us into how joy and peace and those things play a part. And you've told us that people that focus on losing weight actually are even having mental health issues and other kinds of concerns that obviously is not showing the fruit of the Spirit.
Right, right. Well, and what's happening is most of the time, and this isn't true for everybody, but what I see happen a lot is people will go on a diet where for a time they are really not taking care of their bodies well. So the diet is really restrictive. They might lose weight, but they're not necessarily, you know, doing something that actually would be taking care of their body and making their body in better physical health. And so what's happening is we see this cycle of, you know, extreme restriction where we are limiting the foods or the amounts that we're eating. And because of this extreme restriction and limitation, we end up rebounding and we end up craving those foods that we're restricting, and we end up almost in this cycle of restriction and then binging and then restricting again and then binging again. And I see this all the time with my clients. And so this yo-yo effect of losing weight and then regaining it again. And ultimately in either situation, right, whether you're restricting your food or whether you're eating too much, either scenario, you're not really taking care of your body. Mm. And so what we're trying to do is restore that balance where we're most of the time we're taking care of our bodies really well. We're feeding them with good, healthy foods. And then, you know, there's still a little bit of room for, we call them kind of fun foods, or, you know, the foods that tend to be a little more pleasurable than they are nutritious. And that balance is really where people do the best. And so there are just so many damaging side effects when we are talking about the cycle of restriction and then binging and then restriction. And what ultimately ends up happening, I see this with all of my clients, but my Christian clients have a little bit different perspective. And what's happening is we are making food or our bodies an idol, where both of these things are getting in the way of what's really important, which is our faith. And we're starting to spend too much time and energy thinking about all things food related, dieting, losing weight, etc.
You know, I like what you're saying there, but I'm trying to give a practical picture to someone. So if your body is an idol, then you're really worried about how other people see your body.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. And I think our culture plays a big role in that kind of thought process as well, you know. And so, yeah, getting back to kind of, you know, how did God create us? What were our bodies meant to do? I think obviously it's irresponsible to not think about your health ever and not, you know, worry at all about what you're eating. But as with anything else, we can take it to the extreme where it you know, consumes our time. I remember actually being in a Bible study a couple years ago, and we did this exercise where we had to map out the amount of time per day that we spend on taking care of our physical bodies. So eating, exercising, showering, you know, everything that we do every day. And then we were supposed to contrast that to the amount of time we spend on our spiritual health, reading the Bible, praying, et cetera. And it was really amazing to see the contrast in that. And that really got me thinking, you know, if we're feeding our physical bodies three times a day, how much more do we need to be feeding our spiritual bodies?
Amen. Jennifer, do you work with people that are actually traumatized by dieting and may have even caused physical harm to their bodies in some way?
Yeah, actually all the time. So that's one of the main focuses of what I do, is I really help people restore their relationship with food and with their bodies. And so I see it all the time. I see this, we kind of call it like the diet mentality. Mm-hmm. And it can develop into disordered eating, even severe eating disorders over time, just because we get so obsessed with some of these concepts.
Yeah.
And then also there's a physical downside of constantly dieting and then we really decrease our metabolism when we do that often.
Jennifer Bryant is a registered dietitian nutritionist. She's also a certified diabetes educator. She's been a contributor to ABQ Connect now for over 2 years. Her website is nourishednutritioncounseling.com. There are some other people, and I've said this before, that I think are kind of copying you. They call their website Nourished Nutrition. So I want to make sure everybody goes to nourishednutritioncounseling.com. Click on helpful tools if you're interested in some beautiful recipes. Jennifer's newsletter, Food and Faith to Fuel Your Health, is also available. And I think all you require is an email address, and people get that on a weekly basis. And I know you provide a lot of other services, Jennifer. And all of that information is available on your website.
Yep.
We're going to be back with Jennifer to talk about how much protein our bodies require. We're going to talk about the physiological effects of losing weight, gaining it back, and trying to lose the weight again. All kinds of things to talk with Jennifer about. Stay with us. We'll be right back on ABQ Connect.
The largest investment for a family is their home. For decades, Carlos Griego and the team at Bosque Home Services has been taking care of houses. Now, here is Carlos talking with Jim Williams about some of the most common issues homeowners need to know about.
Carlos, tell us some of the common misconceptions between what maintenance is required on a refrigerated air system versus maybe a swamp cooling system.
A really common misconception with refrigerated air is that you only need to have it maintained every 3 to 4 years. Refrigerated air should be maintained every year. There's a lot of different things that can go wrong with that could be prevented, because 90% of our repairs are lack of maintenance. It's deferred maintenance. It's dirty coils.
Bosque Home Services, online at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com or 444-7200. That's HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com or 444-7200.
We are commanded not just to see people saved, but to make disciples, teaching them to observe all things Jesus commanded. Our Shepherd School does this at an exceedingly high level. It is a mentorship program for men to be trained in apologetics, theology, character, prophecy, Bible study, preaching, practical ministry, leadership, and more. This opportunity comes only once every 2 years. Find out more and receive an application at crossfellowship.org. That's crossfellowship.org.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700, or on the web at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Nurse Nutrition Counseling's Jennifer Bryant on the phone with us this afternoon. Jennifer, I hope everything's going well with the Bryant family. Are you all still working out of the house?
We are. I mean, I always have, right? I have a cute little office in the front of my house where I see clients. But yeah, my husband was supposed to go back this month, and then with the rise in some of the cases, they postponed it a little bit, which he's fine with. He has a little more time, you know, working from home. He doesn't have his commute. So, yeah, we're all still here.
All right. Jennifer, I'm going to set up this next topic, which is talking about how much protein our bodies require. But I want to set it up by first asking you, I mean, when you look online, even if you go to meal replacement or you go to pre-workout or post-workout products, they're all protein-based. A lot of them advertise that they're vegetable protein-based, and there's like 8 million of them to choose from. So let's start with, how much protein do our bodies require?
Yeah, so that's a really good question, and this has been coming up a lot in some of my meetings with clients lately. And what I've been seeing is that people, I don't know if it's what's happened in diet culture or in just our overall culture in general, but we tend to be eating much more protein than we actually need. And of course, it depends a little bit on your goals. It depends on, you know, are you working on maintaining? Are you actively losing weight? Are you trying to build some muscle? You know, when you're actively building muscle, you do need a little bit more protein than when you're just working on maintaining the muscle that you have. But it's not a lot. It's not a lot more. And so working with a few younger high school age kids lately on gaining some muscle weight, and what's happening is they're drinking all these protein shakes. They're not really eating a lot of real food, and they're really missing out on some good nutrition from doing that. And they're eating much more protein than their bodies actually need. So of course, everyone has a little bit different protein recommendation, but just to kind of give you a general idea, a 140-pound person really only needs about 70 grams of protein a day. And so what that boils down to is it's basically looking like about 10 ounces of like a meat or a cheese or a bean or a nut. So it's 10 a day is all you really need. And so you think about what people are eating, you know, you go to a restaurant and you order like a 12-ounce steak. That's more protein than you need in the entire day in that one meal.
Yeah.
So we're just going a little bit overboard with what we think we need for protein.
And that really answers the question. It's really not difficult to get the amount of protein you require just from the food you eat.
No, absolutely. So, you know, there are a couple of situations where I might say, oh yeah, protein bar or shake or something might be really helpful for you. For example, if you're out and about all day and you don't have access to, you know, to food or, you know, a good meal, then taking along a protein shake or a protein bar, that might be a good option as kind of a backup. But most of the time, I really like to encourage people to get the nutrition that they need from the actual foods.
Yeah.
We don't know exactly why, but there are a lot of eating the whole foods, and there's some kind of effect, we call it a synergistic effect, of the different types of nutrients working in the natural foods that really help our health, our overall metabolism, everything, our digestive health. It really helps our health a lot more than when we're doing, like the processed shakes, bars, yeah, meals, all of those kinds of things.
And you are spending some serious money when you're buying protein powders and meal replacement shakes and all of those things.
Yeah. And actually, it's funny that you bring that up, Jim. When I think about, I mean, our weight loss industry is like a 30-some billion dollars a year is what we spend in the United States. And it's just, it's amazing to me to think about how much money we spend on this. And so going back to the first segment in this show, when we're talking about intentional eating, one of our intuitive eating principles is to reject the diet mentality. And part of that is it's actually encouraging you to be mad about how much money you have spent on all that you have tried and tried and tried. Ultimately, with, you know, most of them, there are a few, you know, good products out there, of course, but most of them just come up empty in the long term with, in terms of success and overall well-being.
Well, and you've coached us on supplements are sometimes necessary. One of those instances might be if you're an elderly person, you're on a statin or you're on some other type of medication, you might need to supplement because that medication may actually remove that nutrient from your system.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And another example of that is there's a common medication called metformin that lowers blood sugars. And so we use this for type 2 diabetes. We use this for like polycystic ovarian syndrome, any of the metabolic conditions that involve some insulin resistance. And it really depletes your stores of B12. And so it's important that we supplement with vitamin B12 if you're on that medication. So yeah, I think there's a place for supplements, absolutely. But I really think we're overdoing it. And I think they really give us a sense of false hope. We are always looking for the next pill or the next shake or the next food, right? That's going to be like the miracle cure for all of my problems. And it just, it's not, that doesn't exist. It's not there.
Jennifer, what happens to your body? Like, let's say that you're 50 pounds overweight and you lose 40 pounds and you feel great and look great, but you had to go to extreme measures to make that happen. You can't maintain that in your lifestyle. And you gain back 60 pounds. What is that doing to your body when you're losing weight and gaining weight and trying to lose it again?
Yeah, so I think the biggest effect that I have seen is on the metabolism long term. What I see over and over with clients is if they are, most of them call themselves this, if they're a professional dieter, meaning they've tried everything, they've done, you know, you can't count out how many diets, and they've lost, I had a client one time tell me that she's lost 1,000 pounds, you know, over the last, you know, 30 years or so, with the multiple diets that she's been on. And it gets harder and harder and harder to lose weight. And so we really see a decrease in metabolism. The body tends to sort of shut down, and it knows that the next bout of weight loss is coming. And so it tries to sort of hold on to everything that you're giving it, to preserve itself. That's really the body's job, right? Is to, in as many, or in as much as possible to survive, right? And so it sort of goes into survival mode, and we see a huge decrease in metabolism. So, I do this a lot with people, is just trying to encourage that metabolism to get back up to full speed. And really one of the easiest ways to do that is just to return to this whole concept of intentional eating.
Jennifer, I had a conversation. This is not on my list of topics, so I hope you don't mind me introducing this, but you just reminded me of it. A friend of mine has been a professional bodybuilder. He's an older man now, in his late 60s, but he still loves to lift weights and train and still enjoys doing these bodybuilding shows, and he actually shares the gospel and does different things when he's at these events. And most recently won a contest out in Phoenix. And so I asked him, I said, how do you cut weight? And how do you cut so that your musculature is ready for a contest? And I was expecting him to say, oh, buy XYZ protein supplement and take this 4 times a day. And he said, Jim, here's what I do. I really carefully have figured out what my basal metabolic rate is. I figure out how many calories I normally take in. And then I calculate it. And I don't know how you do this. Maybe you can explain it. But he then calculated how many calories his body burns and how he might increase that a little bit with some additional activity. And then he simply eats less calories. And he cuts weight.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's really interesting. So I think this type of approach is, you know, you're basically talking about calorie balance, right? You're talking about calories in, calories out. Some extent, we can calculate those calories. There are lots of equations that I use with clients. But I always, always remember that is really just a starting place, because there are so many. And for example, if somebody is, you know, one of my professional dieters and they calculate how many calories they're burning, I can almost guarantee you that it's going to be not super accurate because of the damage that they've done to their metabolism with diet after diet. So I think that approach works with some situations. Mm-hmm. But I would also say that counting of every little thing, that is an example of one of the behaviors that can lead to some of the unhealthy mental health issues that go along with the chronic dieting, the counting, the obsession, all of that. And so I'm not saying that that's necessarily the wrong way for some people, but I think in many of the people that I work with, I would not recommend that they would be counting things, because that ultimately perpetuates the dieting mentality, basically.
Mm. Jennifer, you mentioned early in the show today and in past shows that you want people to have a healthy relationship with food. So when we come back for our third segment with Jennifer, we're going to be talking about having a relationship, maybe exploring recipes and learning how to cook and just having some fun with it. So Jennifer Bryant, Nurse Nutrition Counseling, on the phone with us this afternoon. We hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back.
Here's John Chitwood with an automotive analogy.
Wouldn't you agree that most people have never even read the small owner's manual that's found in the glove box of all their vehicles? That is because they think they know it already and will only open and read it in a time of an emergency. Sound familiar? There is an owner's manual that you do need to read and memorize. It's God's written word, the Bible. God is the creator and the designer, and in the Bible you will find God's design and purpose for your life and how he made a way of salvation for you and me, that we may have eternal life with him through his son, Jesus Christ. Let us remember what David said in Psalm 119, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you."
An automotive analogy with John Chitwood of Southern Boulevard Automotive, 2300 Southern Boulevard in Rio Rancho, 892-2300, or southernblvdautomotive.com. Thank you, Southern Boulevard Automotive, for your support of KLYT.
Whether at home or in the workplace, we're all leaders. Become a better leader in this leadership moment with Craig Groeschel.
I want to encourage you to watch for where you push back the most. As we cover several different sessions in this teaching, there may be times when you say, "Oh, I disagree. That doesn't apply to me." Whenever I find myself disagreeing or arguing with someone or saying, "That's not true for me," that's often a cue that I need to pay very careful attention. Watch for wherever you push back. It's at whatever point that you disagree the strongest that often indicates where you have the most to learn. Whenever I say, "Oh, no, that's just not true. No, you're completely wrong," it often indicates I don't have the context to know what someone else is talking about. Where you disagree the strongest, it often indicates where you have the most to learn.
That was Craig Groeschel with a KLYT Leadership Moment. Hear more at life.church/leadership podcast.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling, on the phone with us. Jennifer's website is nourishnutritioncounseling.com. She has a button there called Helpful Tools. If you click on it, she has a ton of just absolutely delicious recipes. So I want to start this segment by saying, Jennifer, what's your goal when you design a recipe for your family?
I have a few different things that I try for with each recipe. I'm a firm believer that food should be fun and also tasty. And so if we don't love it, then I don't make it. And that includes myself, my husband, my kids. You know, since I'm the boss and I cook, I do get to override some of these things, right? So if my son says, "Mommy, I really didn't love that," I might make it again, or, you know, I might put it on the regular rotation, but maybe not quite as often. I'm always a big fan of really cooking foods that everybody loves. I also like it when I can incorporate vegetables. We tend to lean a little more towards plant-based eating. That doesn't mean that I'm a vegetarian. Definitely doesn't mean I'm a vegan, but I do try to incorporate a lot of plant foods into our diet. So most of my recipes include some vegetables or some beans or legumes or nuts. And so those two things, you know, healthy, tastes really good, and also it has to be easy. You know, I run a business. I have two kids in school. I don't have time to be shopping for strange ingredients and spending 2 hours in the kitchen every night. So most of the recipes that I publish are, 30 minutes or less. There's a few that are maybe a bit more than that. And I do include some like slow cooker meals from time to time. Those are really great too for the work.
Jennifer, why do you make your recipes available to us for free?
So it's a funny story. So I actually started a blog, I guess it was probably 7 years ago now. We lived in Ireland for a couple years, and I was just there on a tourist visa with my husband was working, and my kids were real, real little at the time. And so I was just a little bored, and I wanted something of my own to do. that I enjoyed, that I had a passion for. And so I just started this blog with recipes and things. And that was actually kind of the beginning of my business. From there, it just sort of grew into, you know, people asking about these recipes and then asking me more questions about nutrition. And then I thought, oh, I could actually do this for a living, you know? So yeah, the recipes started a long time ago, have built on it, you know, for the last, well, really, I would say 3 or 4 years, I've been doing it a little more consistently.
Yeah. Does learning how to prepare food, I guess that doesn't just mean cooking, but preparing it like salads and those kind of things, does that help people to understand more about eating more healthy and having a better relationship with the food?
Yeah, I think so. I think that we tend to put food, again, in kind of two extremes. We either think of it as like the enemy, right? I've heard it so many times. People say, well, I can't eat that, or it will make me fat, or, you know, this and this and this. And we always have foods on our list of things we shouldn't be eating. And so we sort of make food out to be like this evil thing, right? So that's the one extreme. And then the opposite extreme is where food is all we want, and that's all we care about. And that's where we find our pleasure. And so there's these two extremes. And so what I really try to do is bring us back to the middle, where we're really enjoying food. So easy ways to cook it, but that are also really tasty. I think that's really important, because I work with a lot of moms, young moms too, that just, you know, they don't have time and they get bored with what they're cooking. And so they end up getting fast food every night. And so bringing back some of that joy in cooking and preparing good food, I think, is really important. And then getting back to the idea that food can be both nutritious and also delicious.
If I was going to summarize what you just said, the way my 10-year-old would have said it years ago, they would have said something like, healthy doesn't mean yucky.
Yes. Absolutely. And I think that's really a sad misconception that we have, because, you know, people think of like a healthy diet as just boring and like chicken breast and brown rice and broccoli or something. You know, that's kind of like the typical healthy meal that people are talking about. But, you know, I mean, goodness, herbs and spices and all the vegetables that we have available, we can really make our food fun and interesting and really tasty. So, so I really like to help people sort of restore the joy in cooking and feeding their families.
How does eating in a healthy manner help us to achieve God's purpose in our lives?
Oh, that's a good question. I actually had one of my clients email me the other day. She is going through my Food and Faith program, and she's really learning to transform her mind about everything related to food and faith. And so looking at what the Bible has to say, and I think ultimately the Bible talks a lot actually about taking care of our bodies and our bodies being a temple where the Holy Spirit lives. The Bible talks a lot about how God uses us to accomplish his purposes. And so I think all the time, if we are constantly thinking about food and exercise, so we fall in this like obsessive about our health category, how do we have the time and energy to serve, to help friends, to love other people, to do all the things that God really wants us to do? And then conversely, if we're not taking care of our bodies and we're sick all the time, our health is failing, and the Lord can't use us in that scenario either. And so I think that, again, it comes back to this balance where I think the Lord really wants us to take care of our bodies well. And that looks different for everyone. And so I think that's the beauty of it, is we're all so different. Finding that balance for each individual person is it's really a fun journey. And that's what it's all about, is taking care of our bodies so that we can do what God wants us to do on this earth.
Jennifer, what's your next newsletter going to be covering?
Oh, ask that, Jim. So next week, actually, my Tuesday newsletter that comes out is a really short and sweet one, because I'm going to be in Mexico celebrating a big birthday.
Nice.
I don't know how, if I want to tell you which big birthday.
Well, let me just say this, and this thing you can always count on. I am always going to be a lot older than you, if that's any consolation.
That's true. I'm never going to catch up. That's true.
That's right. So I don't like the fact that I'm most of the time now the oldest person in the room, and I don't want you to remind me of that either.
Right. So the next couple of weeks are going to be just some like insights that I've had over the last couple of years, you know, relating to like wisdom. And then I'm going to share a little bit from the Food and Faith program, what people are learning, how they're growing. And then actually, so that'll take us through most of September. And so in October, I'll be starting another series. And when I do a series, what we usually do is we'll have like a challenge each day. Of course, there's a recipe that comes with it. And you know, a paragraph or two just talking about, you know, maybe some ways to think differently about how we're eating, all of that. So I'm not exactly sure what the focus is going to be. I have a couple ideas running around in my head, but we're going to be starting up a new series in October. So,
hey, I was really thinking about your time with us on the radio here this past weekend. A week ago on Friday, I went to Costco and bought a bunch of, some spinach, really fresh spinach, really nice spinach, and some nice vegetables and different things. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm going to cook a little piece of chicken, put it on a salad, maybe do the same thing with steak, maybe have a salad with a hamburger patty. You know, I was thinking, not really planning, but thinking about it.
Yeah.
Of course, I buy these ingredients. Well, here's the problem, Jennifer, and this is really convicting to me, is I went and bought all, and of course, you can't buy a small amount when you go to Costco. And that's no criticism.
Right.
When I had five children living at home, that's where we went, because we could consume everything we ate. But just being me and having occasional visits from my kids, I buy all this food. Well, guess what happens after that stuff's in the refrigerator for 5 or 6 days? It's just gone. And I didn't eat it.
Yep.
And so then I immediately thought, you know, Jennifer's talked to us about meal planning. And that really actually helps you save money at the grocery store, doesn't it?
It really does. In fact, my husband and I were talking about our budget just last week. And we were talking about a couple of specific ways we could do even a little bit better with reducing our food waste. And but it does take a little bit of planning, because by the time those strawberries are bad, you can't do anything with them. Mm. So that's actually a good example. You know, strawberries, they only last a couple of days. So on day three, if we haven't eaten them, I cut off the tops and I put them in little freezer bags and I freeze them for smoothies.
Mm. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can do that with a lot of different vegetables. Some of them you want to cook first. To avoid some weird texture changes that happen when you freeze them. But you can do that a lot. If there's something about to go bad, use it, cook it, and then freeze it for later.
Mm. Jennifer Bryant is on the phone with us. We have one more segment with her. She told us this summer, and I'm going to give you this quote, when we have something that we make more important than God, it starts to control us. So when we come back, we're going to ask Jennifer how we are controlled by both what we eat and drink. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm John Erickson Tata. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus tells us to go out quickly into the streets and alleys to bring in the disabled and blind into the house of God. And through Johnny and Friends New Mexico, we're doing exactly that. Our family retreats bring entire families impacted by disability closer to each other and closer to Christ. Our warrior getaways are specifically designed to bring healing and hope to wounded combat veterans struggling with PTSD and traumatic brain injuries. And through Wheels for the World, Johnny and Friends New Mexico is delivering wheelchairs and Bibles to children and adults suffering under the strain of disability and poverty down in Peru. All our programs and outreach events share the gospel with those who need it most. God can use you to fill His house too. Just go to johnnyandfriends.org/New Mexico today and find out how you can share the hope of Jesus with special needs families in your community. Again, that's johnnyandfriends.org/New Mexico.
Hi, this is Jim Williams, host of ABQ Connect, broadcast live Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock p.m. We talk with authors, musicians, pastors, politicians, teachers, business people, husbands, wives, parents, counselors, athletes, doctors, nutritionists, coaches, and a lot more flavors of people living a life of faith. Please join us. I think you will be encouraged as you hear our guests open up about their own lives and how faith directs their service and love for people. Join us on ABQ Connect Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock or listen to the program podcast 24/7 at abqconnect.online.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
And we are talking with our favorite nutritionist, Jennifer Bryant, nursenutritioncounseling.com. Really neat free tools, newsletter, recipes, and I've used a lot of the recipes, and my kids even like them. And my kids are all grown up, Jennifer, so you tell me that your young children like your recipes. I'm telling you that my older children like the recipes, so there you go.
Well, there you go. That's the goal, right? I mean, really, one of my biggest things I say to people all the time is, if you don't like it, don't eat it. Like, you know, it's like, I don't care how good kale is for you. If you don't like it, use spinach instead. You know, that's okay. It's totally okay.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. Kale and I are not friends. But we'll go on.
Yeah,
we'll go on from there. I'm talking about the green kind, right? I don't think I know anybody named kale. But hey, answer this question: how are we controlled by what we eat or drink?
Yeah. So I mean, this actually goes back to your earlier question, Jim, when you were talking about, you know, the self-control with the potato chips, mm-hmm. right? That was your example, and you know. So we can just expand on that a little bit more. And I've done some digging into this a little bit through, I have a Facebook group, where we kind of talk about some of these concepts, and it seems to be really, really helpful for people, to kind of just sort through some of this. So the question is, okay, now we know that we have the Holy Spirit, which means we do have self-control. Why do we fail in using that self-control from time to time? And so I think what ends up happening is we end up making something more important than God, like you were saying, right? We sort of develop these idols in our lives. And the problem is these idols start to control what we are doing, how we are thinking, our choices. And so if food has become an idol, and it might be a specific food, I actually see this a lot with sweets or sugar for people. Mm-hmm. If the sugar is something that is so appealing to you and so pleasurable, then you may want to ask yourself, you know, have I made this an idol in my life? And is that why I'm having a hard time getting control of this? And so these are some deep questions, because now we're talking about getting to the root of some of the problems that we have, you know, around food and nutrition. And so sometimes that takes an honest conversation with yourself and with God, and praying about these things and really asking God to show you, you know, to show you the sin or what you need to be working on. And so, sometimes I think we let the foods control us because they have become an idol in our lives. And so we need to get back to, those fruits of the Spirit. We need to pray that those fruits of the Spirit would be increasing in us.
Jennifer, I've never asked you this question in the whole time we've had you on the show in 2 years, but I'm going to ask it now. Do you see the adverse effects of alcohol in your nutrition practice?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think that alcohol does come up from time to time. I don't have a lot of people that I'm working with right now that really struggle with it, but the effects of alcohol are definitely damaging on our overall health. It really causes inflammation. It causes malabsorption for nutrients. So we just want to be, you know, we want to be careful with how much we're using alcohol. And then, you know, this is kind of the same concept as food, although, of course, different in a lot of ways, but similar in some ways where, you know, if we're doing too much of something, oftentimes we're trying to fill a void in our lives somewhere else. And so we turn to alcohol or we turn to food. And this kind of falls into the umbrella of the emotional eating topic where, you know, we sort of eat or we drink to suppress some of these emotions that we're feeling. And really God, what God wants us to do is take a hold of those emotions, look at them, identify them, you know, acknowledge them. And then he wants us to go to his word to find truth from his word. And so what happens a lot of times is we sort of like avoid God by turning to some of these other worldly things when really he wants us to come to him with some of our struggles.
You mentioned that alcohol may cause a malabsorption of other nutrients, mm-hmm. I think is the way you phrased mm-hmm. it. Well, give us an example of that.
Well, so there's a couple of things that happen with when we're drinking too much alcohol, but one of them is our body has to work so hard to digest and really ultimately detoxify the alcohol that we're putting into our bodies. And so it bypasses a lot of other functions. And so if we're drinking, our digestive system is not actually functioning as it should. And so what we see is nutrients go undigested or unabsorbed, you know, along with the alcohol that we're drinking because it's trying to get rid of those toxins.
Jennifer, I have so many people that love to quote scriptures to almost justify what they're doing. For example, 1 Timothy 5:23 says, no longer drink water exclusively, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. So I have people actually arguing that, you know, the wine has some medicinal effect. But I get the feeling that alcohol and maybe even the abuse of it seems to sneak up on people that are well-intentioned. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that in your practice?
Yeah, I think definitely. And I think, you know, I mean, this is really just the story of our lives, right? We ultimately put things before God and before his purposes, and they become more important in our lives than God. And I think if we aren't watching out for those things and we aren't intentionally fighting against some of those urges or tendencies to turn to other things, then I think they can start to creep in without us knowing. And that's when we unintentionally get these idols in our lives that we don't even know are there. And so I think this is really a good argument on why we need to be in God's word and why we need to be spending more time on our spiritual health, because I think that gives us a compass of truth and helps us to see where we're straying.
Jennifer, as I'm thinking here, I'm thinking that you're a person that loves to talk with people. That's how you're practice is based. You provide consulting to people. If they call you, you consult with them, and there's different packages available. NourishNutritionCounseling.com is where you can find out about working with Jennifer. She also has a lot of free resources. She has a newsletter, Food and Faith to Fuel Your Health, and she also has other helpful tools like delicious recipes. I want to ask you, Jennifer, about I recently had a physical. And it was not part of the physical to do a blood test. And I frankly haven't had a physical for a long time. But I went ahead and asked for one because you kind of indicated that's something we should look at periodically.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, that's really one of the best ways to see a little bit deeper into the body to see if there's anything going on, you know, any red flags that come up, is to test the blood work. Can I share a quick story, Jim?
Absolutely. We've got about 3 minutes, so take your time.
Okay. Yeah, I can do this in 3 minutes. So one of my clients yesterday, we started meeting last summer, and so it's been a little over a year. And I think I'm ready to graduate him. He has one or two more visits left, but when he came to me last, it was July, he had an A1C, which is kind of like your average blood sugar, mm-hmm. Way over the normal range. He was at 6.7, and his doctor told him, you know, you need to get this under control. And they do what they usually do. They say, or else we're going to put you on medication. Yeah. And so people get like a little bit nervous about that. And so they decide that they're going to do something different. And so, he found me and we started working together, and, his cholesterol was also really high. It was like 272, and his LDL was over 200. And so that's not good. He was kind of in bad shape. So, yesterday he had a follow up with his doctor and asked for new labs, and we've gotten his A1C down to 5.7, which is not even diabetic anymore. And his cholesterol has been cut in half plus a little extra. And so he has lowered his risk tremendously for any complications with high blood sugars. His cholesterol levels are normal. And he was just over the moon. You know, he was like, my goodness, I'm not craving sugar anymore. I'm so happy eating all these vegetables. And he switched a little to a little more of a plant-based diet. And he was just so happy. And so, I think it's important to know that it is possible to change our habits. And we just need the right motivation and maybe a little support.
And again, and you can confirm this, what you've had this client eating is healthy and delicious, not yucky.
Exactly. Well, and that was the cool thing. He's like, you know, I don't even crave. So black licorice was like his vice. He would go and buy like a big package of it and, you know, eat the whole thing, like in one sitting. And he's like, I don't even crave it anymore. I'm so happy. Like, I feel so good. I have so much energy. And he's not young. He's like in his 70s. And, you know, he said, gosh, I wish I would have done this 10 years ago. I just feel so much better. So.
The fruits of the spirit. Thank you, Jennifer, for sharing your time with us today on ABQ Connect.
Thanks, Jim.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.